Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 30th of 31st, March 2022, Thursday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at volume 2, page 187 of the hard copy. Just relax body and mind and maintain some of our attention, then we will have our, as usual, half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We are off the light so that you all can proceed with your awareness-based meditation. So as explained, awareness-based meditation is to develop awareness within. So you only need to follow the four support, especially the first three. First support, to support you develop this awareness-based meditation, is to learn how to relax entirely your body and mind. Feel your body and mind completely at ease, without tension, without tightness, without any stress. It's the mind that is peaceful, happy, relaxed, at ease. Such a mind can meditate, because there is nothing to worry you. Then after that, you maintain awareness. You just have to maintain awareness. Be attentive, alert, to maintain awareness. Just aware. Whatever arise, aware. Thought arise, aware. Feeling arise, aware. Sensation arise, aware. Thought arise, aware. Whatever sense basis upon contact, aware. And when you are just aware, without allowing your thought to continue to proliferate, then your mind will be able to develop that type of training to stabilize the mind, to be just aware without thought. That's why I always use the word aware, finish, no more. No need to know. So that you don't create thinking. You don't get yourself entangled with whatever the mundane mind or the thought condition you into believing. Just aware. When you are just aware, then the mind settle down again. The next moment, aware, settle down again. Continue to allow this awareness to stabilize. You can do it until it is very stable. Then your mind will become very quiet. Yeah, this is the fastest way to develop awareness within, to decondition your heedless thinking instead of aware conscious thing. Most people, not even at the awareness level, they straight away become conscious and the thought process move. That's like conscious and get yourself entangled, lost in thought. That's why you will create thinking, proliferation of thinking, thought process. And there is heedless living, to be mindful, to be aware. You don't create thought, you just aware, finish. Aware, finish. That's why relax, maintain awareness. The third support is maintain awareness for as long as you can until your awareness within stabilizes. You can do it with patience and understanding. Not long. You can have this awareness to be aware that your thinking has already transformed. You are no longer heedlessly thinking and lost in thought. Like before, you have become like, developed the ability to be just aware, finish. And when you have sufficient stability, the awareness nature surface, you become more peaceful, more clarity, because you don't think anymore. You're just aware. So what happens is your old thought process thinking, some kind of activity, it will slow down because you don't support it anymore. You don't give it any more meaning. You just let it arise, pass away. Then slowly, slowly, it will dissipate this energy. That's how your thinking stops. Initially, like slow down, then finally stop. You have to realize that silence, when there is no more thinking, no more movement of thought, then later on when you come out, we inquire, who are you? What are you? Without thought, who are you? And what is thought? How thought create movement? How thought arise to respond to memory? So all this understanding you will develop if you are just silently aware to observe. So that is what you need to do. After you have trained and stabilized and quite good at it, then this awareness nature within that has been developed can meditate, can insight into phenomena, can awaken, can realize the truth, leading to the awakening. So this is how you develop the meditation. Then you will come to know clearly who are you, what are you, how you function as a human being. We are going through the manifestation of potence, the six potence in this world system. And the first one is potent of speaking Dhamma. For the sake of the Bodhisattvas, spoke a great Vahika Sutta named Limitless Principles. The sutra was titled Sutra of Limitless Principles. The Buddha spoke it before he spoke the Dhamma Flower Sutta, means Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, Miao Pa Lian Hua Jing. He spoke the Sutta of Limitless Principles as a Dhamma for instructing Bodhisattvas, of which the Buddha is protective and mindful. So at that time, the six potents or potents were manifested. What were the six potent? The potent of speaking Dhamma, the potent of entering Samadhi, the potent of raining of flowers, the potent of the shaking of earth, and the potent of the rejoicing of the assembly, and finally the potent of emitting light. So most likely these are the six potence. I may be mistaken, but I don't believe I am. I don't like my memory. I don't think my memory is quite that bad. Those are the six potence, and we are now discussing the first, the potence of the speaking of Dhamma. So this is from Xianhua, Master Xianhua. Someone may ask, but the Buddha very often spoke the Dhamma and entered Samadhi. Why have such common occurrences suddenly become auspiciously potent or auspicious potent? The speaking of Dhamma differ from that of other time. This time after he spoke the Dhamma, the wonderful Dhamma, the Buddha entered Samadhi. Having entered Samadhi, there was a rain of flowers. After the rain of flowers, there was an earthquake. After the earthquake, everyone rejoiced, and the Buddha emitted the white hair mark light. All this betokened an extraordinary circumstance. Thus, they are called the six potents. For the sake of all the great Bodhisattvas, spoke a great Vahika Sutta. The Bodhisattvas here refers to the 80,000 Mahasattva present in the assembly. So while they were having this wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutra assembly, there were 80,000 of these Mahasattvas. They were all great bodhisattvas who listened to the Great Vahika Sutra. What is a Great Vahika Sutra? These are the seven qualities of the Great Vahika as cultivated by the Great Vahika Bodhisattvas. So you differentiate the Great Vahika from normal Sutta is by looking at these seven qualities. The first of the seven qualities is the greatness of the Sutra or Dhamma. The entire Tipitaka, various 12 division of Sutra types, is contained within the Great Vahika Sutra. The small Vahika of Theravada tradition does not include the Great Vahika, but the Great Vahika does include the small Vahika. So first of all, the Dhamma is great. The greatness of the heart brought forth. So this is the second quality. What is meant by bringing forth the great heart? It is to bring forth the great heart of Bodhi. Means the enlightenment form, the great heart of Bodhi, the Bodhi mind. Not the small heart of Bodhi. So that from the level of a common person, right up until the realization of Buddhahood, one never retreat. An unretreating heart is a great Bodhi heart. The third quality is understanding the great storehouse. This refers to understanding the doctrine contained within the great Vahika Bodhisattva storehouse. The great storehouse is the Bodhisattva. Oh, sorry. How come they write it this way? The great storehouse is the Bodhisattva storehouse. Okay. Understanding the doctrine of the Bodhisattva storehouse and cultivating according to the Dhamma of the Bodhisattva storehouse is to understand the great storehouse. I think this description is a very good and the flow of language is not there. Never mind, it's okay. I think it's a direct translation from the Mandarin. The Mandarin, when you read it, it sounds different. The meaning is there. But when you directly translate it into English, it becomes a problem. Okay. The fourth quality is the greatness of purity. Bodhisattva who study the Great Vahika can see the way, and their hearts are great, immaculate, pure and clear. Then the fifth quality is the greatness of the adornment. With that, with what do they adorn themselves? Blessings and wisdom. They adorn themselves with blessings and virtue and wisdom. And of course, wisdom is also intelligence. The sixth quality is the greatness of the time. They pass through three great asankhya kalpas. The sixth may also be explained as the greatness of the cause. And finally, the seventh quality is the greatness of perfection. Perfection refers to the fulfillment of the six perfection or the 10,000 conducts. They adorn themselves with the hallmark and characteristics and obtain the fruit of Bodhi. So this may also be explained as the greatness of the fruit or result. Because of this seven quality, it is called the Great Vahika. That's why everybody say the Great Vahika. Why? That is just Mahayana. So Maha is great, Yana is Vahika, the Great Vahika. Well, what is Mahayana anyway? How big is it? I ask. How many qualities of greatness are connected with the Great Vahika? And they don't know. Having heard the seven qualities of the great Mahika, we should know that they differ somewhat from the seven qualities of a Mahasattva, which were previously enumerated. He is the great Mahika spoken for the sake of the Bodhisattva. Speak means to expound. Sutra is a text. The word sutra has already been discussed. It is a Sanskrit word which is interpreted as a tallying text. For it tally above with the principle of all the Buddhas and below with the opportunities for teaching living beings. It also has many other meaning which need not be reiterated here. Before Sakyamuni Buddha spoke the Dhamma, the wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutra, he spoke a sutra called the Sutra on Limitless Principle. Limitless principle means that the principles are uncountable. However, so Master Shenhua had this poem. Where does the limitless come from? It comes from the limited. And where does the limited come from? From the one. And where does the one come from? It comes from the markless. Where does the markless come from? It comes from the real mark. So this one is a bit esoteric, not easy to comprehend. But for those who have the understanding and awakening, is relatively easy. Therefore, it is said the real mark is unmarked. The limitless principle comes from the limited principles. And the limited principle come from the one principle, the primary principle. Where does the one principle come from? It comes from the markless. The markless principle. The markless principle comes from the real mark principle. The real mark is unmarked. Which mark does it not have? It has no mark of birth and death. The real mark is also not unmarked, for it has no mark of nirvana. Without the mark of birth and death or nirvana, it is the real mark. However, there is nothing which is not marked by it. Everything, for example, the limitless principle, all come from it, from the real mark. For this reason, the Sutra of Limitless Principle is also called the Sutra of the Real Mark Principles. Previously, I have explained the word all as one. Why? For this reason, the one is limitless and limitless is one. In fact, there isn't even one. That's the real mark. Where does the one come from? It comes from the absence of one. Basically, there isn't a one, but people deliberately sit or stick another head atop on top of their heads and come out with a one. When there is nothing to do, they go out and find ways to be busy. Basically, there is no problem at all, but people fuss around and find problem to take care of. What is the function of the Sutra of the Limitless Principle, which the Buddha now speaks? It is the Dhamma for instructing the great Bodhisattvas, a method for teaching and transforming them, instructing Bodhisattva in the method used to practice the Bodhisattva way. The Bodhisattvas study the great Mahika Dhamma, of which the Buddha is protective and mindful. Basically, the Buddha had no intention of speaking this Dhamma, and he remained silent for a long time, not discussing it. Why? Because the Buddha is protective and mindful of this great Mahika Dhamma. He had no intention of speaking it. If he did speak the great Mahika Dhamma, it might cause all living beings to disbelieve it. Certainly, it would not be appropriate to their potential. Since it was inappropriate, the Buddha waited a long time before speaking this Dhamma. This has been a discussion of the first of the six potents, the speaking of Dhamma. Then we come to the sutra. After the Buddha had spoken this sutra, he said, if a lotus can enter the samadhi of the station of luminous principle, body and mind unmoving. Then the next section is the second potent, potent of entering samadhi. We go to the commentary. So this is the second potent of entering samadhi. After the Buddha has spoken this sutta, after Sakyamuni Buddha has spoken this sutta, which sutta? Was it the wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta? No, it was the Sutra on Limitless Principle, which is the Dhamma for instructing Bodhisattva, of which the Buddha is protective and mindful. So he has spoken the sutta. Since he has spoken the sutta, one might expect him to take a rest. He did not rest. However, he sat in full lotus. The lotus position may be a full lotus or half lotus, depending on whether both or only one of the legs was pulled up over the opposite thigh. Why sit in full lotus? It aids you in your cultivation of the way. The lotus position is also called the Vajra sitting. No doubt, you have all heard me relate the account of the ghost Prashant Dhamma Master, and so I need not repeat it now, but I will talk of the full lotus position. When practicing Zen, if you sit in full lotus, then you are less likely to doze off. This is the first advantage. What is meant by dozing off? It means that you sit there and sleep. When you sit there in full lotus, you won't fall over, as it creates a solid balance beneath you. It promotes the easy development of your samadhi power. One meditates with the hope of obtaining samadhi power. The lotus position is helpful in this regard. When your samadhi power comes forth, your wisdom power will be increased, because wisdom power comes from samadhi power. Samadhi power comes from the precept power. That's why we call it sila, samadhi, and panya. When you sit in full lotus, upright and sedate, that is your own inherent precept substance. From the precept comes samadhi. From samadhi comes wisdom. Precept, samadhi, and wisdom are the three non-outflow studies. They are born from full lotus sitting. Another thing, when you sit in full lotus, all the gods and dragons and the rest of the Eightfold Division protect you, with the gods, dragons, and others of the Eightfold Division protecting you. The deviant demons outside wiped out. Weird demons and strange ghosts. All the demon kings retreat far into the distance. They run far away. Therefore, the Vajra full lotus sitting is the most important factor in cultivating the way. When I was in Manchuria, this one referred to Master Shen Huang, the following events occurred. There was a Dhamma teacher from an outside way, white town, who had over 3,000 disciples, but he knew that he had no skill in his spiritual cultivation. For this reason, he went everywhere seeking the way. He didn't dare let his disciples know what he was doing. Because if they know he did not have the way, they would no longer believe in him. He transmitted a non-Buddhist Dhamma and at the same time traveled everywhere looking for the way. He looked for 2 to 3 years, but still did not find a bright-eyed learned advisor. Later, he met Xuan Huo. How did that happen? I had known him some time previously, but had not seen him for a long time. He had heard of me when I was sitting beside my mother's grave in an act of filial piety. He had heard of me, but had never met me. One day, I went to his house. The night before, his nephew had had a dream in which he saw me, even though he had never actually met me and did not know me. When he saw me in his dream, he didn't know why, but he sorted the way for me. His name was Guan Chanhai. He heard me say, "You can't seek the way. You can't cultivate the way. Why? Because you are wearing a skin of foul retribution of your body. You have a skin of offense, karma." He persisted in asking me of the way, and then I reached out my hand, and from the top of his head, pulled an entire layer of skin off of him. I threw it on the ground, and when he looked at it, he saw it was the skin of a pig. Then in his dream, I said, "Now that I have pulled off your skin of offenses, you can cultivate the way." The day after the dream, I went to his house, for I knew his uncle, Guan Zhongxi. He said, "Uncle, who is he? I dreamt last night that he came here and pulled a big skin off my body." The uncle said, "He is the one who cultivates the piety from Xi Huang Qi, the West Yellow Banner, in Lalim. He is well known as a filial son." The nephew was delighted and relayed to his uncle the particulars of the dream of his dream. His uncle had the way uppermost in his mind, and he too rejoiced. "The way has been sent to our home," he said. "We should quickly seek the way from him." The two of them knew before Master Xuan Huo and refused to get up. They wanted Xuan Huo to accept them as their teachers. At that time, Master Xuan Huo was 23. Then Master Xuan Huo said, "I can't be anyone's teacher. I don't have the way. I am seeking the way myself too." "Be compassionate," they plead. "We both know that you are a cultivator of the way, and we must bow to you as our teacher." I said, "Don't worry. I will take you around everywhere to seek the way. When you meet someone you feel is qualified to be your teacher, you may bow to him. Don't bow to me as your teacher." And I refuse to accept them. Today, we will just speak this far. I think there must be another story behind. Yesterday, we were talking about sitting in full lotus. Guan Zhongxi and his nephew, Guan Changhai, has sought the way from me. Guan Zhongxi had over 3,000 disciples, but he had no method by which to end his own birth and death. He very anxiously went everywhere seeking the way. After several years, probably after three he still had not found it. When I went to his home, his nephew had a special dream, and so we knew. So he knew who I was. The two of them kneeled before me, begging me for the way. I said, I don't have the way, but I can help you find it. Come along with me, and we shall search everywhere for it, in all the temples and monasteries, or wherever there are cultivators. And when we meet someone who suits you, you can pick him as your teacher. They came along with me, and we traveled to all the well-known places where people cultivated the way. I introduced them to the cultivators, but in all cases, they were not satisfied with them and returned again to seek the way from me. I say, I don't have the way. All I can do is instruct you in a method of cultivation. One method, the full lotus seeding. Try it out and see if you can seed in full lotus. When the uncle tried it, his right leg stuck straight up in the air, over 6 inches off the bench. This was because he was one of the native mountain people and had a particular trait of having very large kneecaps. They were known as big kneecap bones. Although it was very difficult, still he could get into the position and sit. So I told him to practice sitting that way, and then I left. Over 70 days later, I returned to his house. His kneecap has been quite large to begin with, but now they have swollen even bigger. They were so swollen that he couldn't even walk. In Manchuria, iron wheel carts are used for transportation, and the wheels are both 2-inch wide. They make 2-inch rocks in the road. Guangzhou Si was unable to step over a cart rock. His leg was so swollen. Seeing this, I felt the practice was too severe. So I said to him, you should practice sitting in full lotus. Or you shouldn't practice sitting in full lotus. It's something you probably just can't manage. You can stop practicing it. He said, only if I die will I discontinue practicing the sitting. As long as I haven't died, I don't care how swollen my leg gets. I shall continue to cultivate practice, because if in cultivating the way one is not able to bear pain, how can one possibly expect to succeed? If I can't even discipline myself to sit in full lotus, how can I possibly cultivate the way? I'm determined to accomplish it. I say, if you are going to be that way, I won't pay any attention to you. If you practice. If you don't, do as you please. And I left. After 100 days, the previous time, if I had been 70 days, I again returned to his house and saw that he could now walk. His leg was no longer swollen. I asked him, have you quit practicing the full lotus? He said, no. And now, not only was the swelling gone down, but my leg no longer hurt. Both my legs lie on the bench. They don't stick up in the air anymore, and they don't hurt. I said, those with determination know success. Your strong resolve brought about your accomplishment. I then taught him the method used to cultivate Dayan. He practiced them, cultivating the skill of sitting in Dayan meditation. His nephew, Guan Changhai, had traveled with his uncle everywhere seeking the way. He sought it for 3 years, and then 5 years in all, and still had not found a teacher. He was extremely well disposed towards me and always gave me gift on New Year and other holidays. Perhaps good thing to eat or other things, to great many of them. I knew he thought well of me. Once I looked at him, I took him to the three condition temple where I was staying to meet the abbot. I had assumed he would bow to the abbot as his teacher, but he didn't. He started out for his house. About halfway there, we passed through a small forest. Suddenly, he grabbed my sleeve and kneeled down. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I traveled for so many years, and of all the people I've seen, I believe in you the most. Now I must bow to you as my teacher." Seeing him in such a state, tugging on my sleeve, I pretend to get angry. I jerk my arm away, turn away, and stoop. I walk about a quarter of a mile and turn around to see him still kneeling there. He hasn't risen, and tears were rolling down his face. I walked back and stood before him. "What are you doing?" I said. "You must accept me as your teacher," he said. "Otherwise, I'm not going to get up." "You must accept me as your disciple." I pronounce it as a teacher, as your disciple, he said. "Otherwise, I'm not going to get up. I will stay here kneeling until I die." "Oh, well, kneel until you die. That would be the best thing you could do," Shenhua said. "If you want to die kneeling, go ahead, but no one's ordering you to do it. Kneel all you want, but I am leaving." And I left again. I walked for 1/3 of a mile and turned around to see him still kneeling. He hasn't risen. At that point, my heart felt a slight twinge, and I returned and said, "Very well, I accept you." He was the first disciple I received in Manchuria. Before taking refuge, he was a vegetarian. After taking refuge, he practiced sitting up. He never lie down, never allow his rib to touch a mat or bed. He also never ate after noon. After his uncle had been cultivating for roughly 5 years, he knew himself on what day he was going to go to rebirth, means Parinibbana, about to die. He addressed a member of his household saying, "On such and such a day I am going to leave. You must not cry or grieve. Most of all, I would like to see the Phila son. If he could come, that would be the very best. But I do not know where he is at present and had no way to send him a letter. Everything else I can let go of, but this one wish alone remained unfulfilled." When the day arrived, he sat upright and without any illness, he died sitting. After his death, many people in his village had a very strange dream. They all dreamt that they saw two young lads dressed in dark robe in front of him, leading him off to the west. This is what his wife later told me. Sitting in full lotus is the most important factor in cultivating the way. If you can master it, it will be extremely beneficial for you in your cultivation. Having finished speaking the Sutta Luminous Principle, Sakyamuni Buddha sat in full lotus and entered Samadhi of the Station of Luminous Principle. To enter the Samadhi of Luminous Principle is also just to enter the real monk Samadhi, where only the real monk remains. What's the time now? Oh, wait, 9:21. I have to actually make this brighter. Okay. Okay, we continue a bit more. Body and mind unmoving. Someone may ask when the body does not move. We can observe this, but how can we know if the mind is unmoving? And this is a very good question. If your body does not move, then your mind may also be unmoving. Once your body moves, your mind moves as well. Therefore, those who have entered samadhi do not move either in body or mind. The mind or heart been discussed here in Chinese. Mind and heart are represented by the same word or character. It's not a lump of flesh within your chest. That one is the physical heart. It is the true mind. Whether or not you enter samadhi, the true mind is basically unmoving. So the text say, body and mind unmoving. Why is it unmoving? Because the Buddha has entered samadhi. His body and mind had obtained the rhyme of clear, pure, basic source. For this reason, the body and mind are unmoving. This has been a discussion of the second, the portent of entering samadhi. So this part, when we talk about samadhi, is actually realizing your true mind. Then you are completely silent without thought with that nature. You are basically in samadhi. And the stability of it is very important. So we move on to the sutta part. We'll read a bit more. At that time, there fell from the heavens a rain of Mandarava flowers. Maha Mandarava flowers, Manjushaka flowers, and Maha Manjushaka flowers, which were scattered upon the Buddha and the entire great assembly. Commentaries. This passage of text is the third, the portent of raining flowers. At that time, when Sakyamuni Buddha had entered samadhi, his body and mind unmoving. At that very same time, there fall from the heavens rain, falling down over the sky, Mandarava flowers. Mandarava is a Sanskrit word. Mandarava flowers are interpreted as white flowers or as flower which goes along with one's wish. Then Maha Mandarava flowers are the big variety of the white flowers. Then Manjushaka flowers are red flowers. Maha Manjushaka flowers are huge, deep red flowers. These were the flowers which were scattered upon the Buddha and the entire great assembly. All present in the Dhamma assembly received the offering of flowers. What does the rain from heaven of the four kinds of flower represent? They represent the dwelling, practices, dedication, and grounds. In the Sriranga Sutra, we have already heard about the 10 dwellings. They are represented by the Mandarava flowers. The Maha Mandarava flowers represent the 10 practices. The Manjushaka flower represent the 10 dedication. The Maha Manjushaka flower represent the 10 ground. Thus, the four kinds of flower represent the four seats of position of the four bodhisattva levels, which were scattered upon the Buddha. The flower drifted down and settled upon the Buddha and upon the entire great assembly as well. The entire great assembly in cultivation. Everyone must pass through the 10 dwelling, the 10 practices, the 10 dedication, and the 10 ground. This then has been a discussion of the third potent of the rain, raining of flowers. Oh, so fast they complete that one. Eh? Okay, we read a bit more. All the Buddha universes quite in six ways. Eh? So this is the form. All the Buddha universes quite in six ways. Commentary. This is the fourth potent, the potent of shaking the earth, which was. Oh, sorry. Why was it that all the Buddha universe quaked in six ways? It was because Shakyamuni Buddha was about to speak the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. Before he spoke the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, these various occurrences will take place to indicate and point out the great significance of the suttas. This is why all these states manifested. All the Buddha universes refer to all the universe in which there are Buddhas. They all quake in six ways. The six types of earthquake have been explained many times, and in fact, I even quiz you on them once. Some of you may remember one of them, some two, some three, some four or five, but nobody remember all six. Now I'm not going to speak. Oh, sorry, to ask you if you know them. I will just go ahead and tell you again. The six types of earthquakes are, there is a banging sound, roaring sound, crackling sound, shaking, surging, and rising. The first three refer to sound. The second three refers to movement. To the visible appearances of the earth as it shakes, rises, and surges. One set is sound, the other set is movement. The six types of earthquake represent the six faculties, the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind. Generally speaking, there are six types of earthquakes, but if one wishes to expand the explanation, there may be said to be 18 types of earthquake by virtue of the fact that each of the six have three applications. 3 times 6, of course, is 18, and they represent the 18 sensory. The 18 sensory rhyme are composed of the six sense faculty, the six sense object, and the six type of consciousness. How does the six type of earthquake turn into three? Let's take the form, shaking, for example. The first is shaking, the second is universal shaking, and the third is everywhere, universal shaking. That's three. Banging works the same way, banging, universal banging, and everywhere, universal banging. There is also rolling. Universal rolling and everywhere universal rolling as another three. Cracking, universal cracking and everywhere universal cracking are another three. Surging and everywhere universal surging are the other three. So rising, everywhere universal rising are yet another three. That makes 18 in all. What is meant by the set of three? Shaking refers to shaking in one particular place. Universal shaking is a shaking in one set of four continents. Jambuwapi in the south, Uttarakura in the north, Apara Godaniya in the west, and Puva Videha in the east. Then the four great continents shake, that is termed universal shaking. However, universal shaking refers to only one set of four continents. Everywhere, universal shaking refers to shaking through the entire 3,000 great thousand worlds, the ocean. The sixth type of earthquake taking place to the end of empty space and throughout the Dhammara is termed everywhere universal shaking. The sixth type of earthquake also represents the four levels of ten dwellings. The ten practices, the ten dedication, and the ten grounds, with the addition of equal enlightenment and wonderful enlightenment, a total of six positions. What does the quaking represent? It represents the breaking up of our ignorance, because as you break through the sixth level, the sixth position, you break through ignorance six times. Each time you break through, it diminishes. Thus, they call the sixth type of earthquakes. Everyone who sits in Zen undergo this sixth type of earthquake. Those who do not sit in Zen are also experiencing them. They also experience them. They represent the six sense faculty, the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind. These are the six types of earthquake. Let's discuss the term surging. When there is surging in the east, there is sinking in the west. The east surges up and the west sinks. The movement begins in the east. The east is associated with wood and wood with the color green. In the human body, the color green is associated with the liver. Thus, the liver is associated with wood. The liver is associated with the eyes. And so this deals with the eyes faculty. The salt is associated with the color red. The salt and the color red are associated with the heart and flower. Sorry, and fire. Fire is red and is associated with the human heart. The heart is associated with the tongue. The tongue is red. The west is associated with wine and metal. With the human body, metal is associated with the lungs. The lungs are white in color. Of the six sense faculty, the nose is associated with the lung. When the merits of the eye arise, the affliction of the nose are white away. When the affliction of the eyes disperse, the merits of the nose arises. Each of the six faculties has its own merits. The merits of the eye, ear, nose, tongue are discussed later in the Dhamma, Wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta. They are discussed as in the Surangama Sutta as well. So when the merit arises, affliction are wiped away. When affliction arises, merits is wiped away. So they interact in this quaking. The north is associated with the color black water. In the human body, the color black is associated with the kidney. The kidney are associated with the ear faculty. Then with relation to the ear and tongue, when the merits of the ear arise, the affliction of the tongue are wiped away. When the merits of tongue arise, the affliction of the ear are wiped away. They interrelate with regards to merits and affliction. The four directions are represented by the body and the center by the mind. The body is complete with the four faculties, and mind conceptualizes through them. So the ten dwelling, the ten practices, the ten dedication, the ten grounds, equal enlightenment and wonderful enlightenment are represented by the six type of earthquake. The ear, the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and mind are also represented by the six type of earthquake. The inner quaking takes place in the six faculty. The outer quaking have three involving movement and three involving sound. A lot could be said about them, but today we will stop here. All the Buddha world quack in six ways. This is the fourth, the potent of shaking the earth. The six type of quakes represent quacking at the gates of the six sense door. The six sense door Eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind interact to aid one another. One could also say that they have formed themselves into a party, banded together like the lung and the pei. What is meant by banded together like the lung and the pei? The two animals, the lung and the pei, must be together in order to walk. If they are not together, they can't walk. Why? Because the lung and the pei are unlike ordinary wolves. The lung has only foreleg, and the pei has only hind leg. The two of them must get together in order to walk. So it is said banded together like the lung and the pei. The eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and mind, the six sense faculty are also this way. They can do evil deeds and they can also do good deeds. When they run downhill, they can drag your Dhamma body with them into hell. Or perhaps into the realm of hungry ghosts and the animal kingdom. This happened all because the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and mind has taken you there. So this one refers to the heedless people who do not cultivate the Dhamma. And because of their heedlessness, take them to take birth in the hell realm and all the other four woeful states. When one realizes Buddhahood, it is also because of the six sendo, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind cooperating with each other. They are no longer like the lung and the pei bending together for criminal purpose, but they function as a cooperative organization. You help them and they help you. For example, as I said earlier, when the merits of the nose arises, the affliction of the eyes are wiped off. When the merits of the eye arises, the affliction of the nose are wiped away. What is meant by affliction of the eye and affliction of the nose? The affliction of the eye, when you see things you like but cannot obtain them, then there is affliction. When you see them, you give rise to heart of greed. Your eyes see them and your heart give rise to greed. And so this type of affliction is created because of the eyes. And what is meant by the merits of the eye? The merit of the eye is when the eye reads the sutta, you think the sutras are truly fine. I'm going to read it. And your eye helps your heart to understand the doctrine of the sutta. When the eye see images of the Buddha, you then bow to the Buddha. Why did you bow to the Buddha? Because your eye sees the image of the Buddha. And so you wish to pay reverence and make offering. This came about through the merits of the eyes. The eyes can help you, and so can the nose, ear, tongue, body, and mind. All the six sense faculty work in this way with the same power. They can help you or they can destroy you. It depends upon what you do. If you base your action on wholesome merits and virtue, the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind will help you to act of wholesome merits and virtue. If you operate from a base of transgression, offense, and error, the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind will also come to your aid in doing act of transgression, offense, and error. For this reason, the Surangama Sutta say, if you fall into hell, it's because of the six sense faculty. If you realize Buddhahood, it's also because of the six sense faculties, nothing else. So in cultivation, the six sense door is very important. That's why we need to train our mind to be mindful, to be aware, so that it is not heedless. Okay, I think we stop here, otherwise it's too long, so that we can open up for second session. But before that, I would like to just summarize it. The most important Dhamma that is being shared just now is about the six sendo. If you are not able to make use of the six sendo with the Dhamma understanding, then you will not be able to cultivate the way. you will lose yourself, you will become heedless. And because of that, delusion sets in. So delusion leads to downfall, leads to coming affliction. So all this understanding is very important. You cannot blame the sixth sandal. The use of the sixth sandal is very important. If you don't have Dhamma, don't have understanding, then the sixth sandal can be abused. Then you can actually create your own hell, your own death destiny after that. But if you have the Dhamma, the understanding, you will cultivate accordingly. Then the sixth sandal will aid you, will help you to realize the truth, to awaken. But they are all connected to the mind. And the mind that living beings are familiar with is usually only the mundane mind. So you use the mundane mind to cultivate, to interact with the sixth sandal, you will get yourself entangled. That's why the real cultivation is to train your mind to be aware, to be heedful. So you have to use your true mind. Meditate with your true mind in awareness so that you are mindful, heedful, so that you understand clearly how you function as a human being, how the sixth sandal interact with each other, the external sense object, that upon contact, how it triggers sense or consciousness, that when the sense or consciousness arise, how you perceive them, how you input the content of consciousness, how your memory, views, opinion and conditioning come in to actually cause the delusion that condition your grasping, clinging. So all this, you must see them. Then you awaken and you come out of it by reversing all this, straightening your view, not to be deluded by it, not to be deceived by it. Then you will start to develop another clear understanding. When you are aware, when you can see all this movement, you can awaken to the truth. You can see things as they are. Then you realize this is the only way to free your mind, to liberate your mind. Then you can experience the tranquility, the stillness, the clarity, the peace within. That is your true mind. That silence is the most beautiful mind state. Very tranquil, still. No movement, no activity, no stress, nothing. But then we had to come into this conditioned world to live life. That's why we have a form and mind. So you need to develop wisdom to understand clearly what this form and mind is all about, their universal characteristic, and how you can make use of this form and mind to awaken, to cultivate, to practice, then to live life, to help you develop understanding of life. Then you can experience, you can get to realize the profound or pristine beauty and wonders of life. So all these are possible when you have the understanding. Then you are not confused. Then you see clearly that the form and mind has its universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta. Then you will know it is not a permanent unchanging entity. It is not real, not what you think. It is only a vehicle and a tool, karmically conditional for you to arise in this world. So make use of it. The understanding that is connected to the form and mind is very important. And you need a form and mind to come to this existential world. You need the form and mind to realize your true mind, your true nature. You need the form and mind to actually develop the awakening, then the wisdom connected to it will allow you to live life. Then the form and mind, which has the wisdom connected, will not be deluded anymore, will not be deceived anymore. That's why you can say the form and mind is enlightened, but it's not a permanent and changing entity, it's not you. It's just that nature awakened, but it's connected to the form and mind. So as see the form and mind is enlightened, awakened, but that form and mind is just a chemically conditioned vehicle and tool, not a permanent and changing entity. That's why they always say, no one born, no one die, no one sick, no one old. He know you, he know me, no mark of self, no mark of others, no mark of number. So all this understanding will unfold. That's why you need mindfulness, heedfulness, awareness. Not to be deceived by the thought process, the mundane mind. You can only use thought appropriately when you awaken. Otherwise, the thought is always limited and egoic. So being limited and egoic without wisdom, thought will lead to problem. That's why the mental hindrance, everything arises because of lack of dhamma, lack of wisdom, lack of understanding. Then the attachment, the clinging, the grasping, the holding on to things, then everything become like very real. You will attach and cling to the phenomenal world of consciousness and form, taking the unreal as the real, the impermanent as permanent, non-self as self, a real entity. Okay, so with this, we will end today's session, and we will open up for meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have, you can ask.
Virtue, 我只是想讲说，那天礼拜天那个 RPG share 他的那种 daily life 的 experience 的那个 Q&A 的那个 Dharma talk， especially Virtue 你的那个 explanation on 那个 asset terms 哦，怎样去 cultivations 的那个整个的那个啊。sharing 啊，那个 cultivation， 哇，非常的好。那是我一听到说，哎，我这一次听啊，你在 sharing 的时候，哎，我有感觉啊，我整个人觉得，哎，比以前以前很像比较多在 no wise，
对，现在更清楚了。
对，because 有在 daily 里面 try to 去 cultivate， 去 understand， 去 contemplate。Brother， 你每次讲的那个 dharma， 所以在 that's right， that day 我一听你一讲的时候，哎，我整个人像有那种感觉，我讲哎， this is the way to cultivate。那 and then 我每天都在听，然后我每天都在听，我觉得哇，这个 acceptance 的这个cultivation 是一个很重要的一个 part，
因为不容易了解的，很多人是 use knowledge accept 啦， let go 啦，没有用啊，你一定要 contemplate until very very stable, very clear, until that meaning is so clear to you, means you don't have a choice, but this is the reality. Like the Buddha said, when conditioned like that, things will be like that, it cannot be otherwise. So if you want it your way, which is not nature's way, you will suffer. Then from there you expand it down. Thing is just the way it is, like the Buddha said. Condition like that, things is like that. That's why people are just the way they are. Their condition is like that, they become what they are. Then the world is the world. Their condition already said, that reality unfold, manifest. That's why that will lead to the deep, profound understanding of reality, true, as I tatata, suchness. Suchness, you cannot argue with suchness. Suchness is the reality, what is. That's why even Byron Katie realized, every time you try to argue with the truth or the reality, you suffer, you become miserable. Yeah. So acceptance, born of this type of wisdom, understanding, the stability of it, is very different from the Dhamma words or Dhamma knowledge. A lot of people study Dhamma by using knowledge. They approach it with a thought process. Yeah, accept lah, accept, no issue already lah, no more follow lah. 嘴巴讲, accept. But the heart cannot, because inside, you feel it. A lot of people cannot go through that because the real acceptance comes from awakening, wisdom. You must have that wisdom, that awakening, to enable you to fully have the understanding, to act that way. That's why it must be the embodiment of that understanding within you that manifest into action. Acceptance is easier said than done. But the truth is, a lot of people cannot understand. That's why sometimes when a certain tragic thing happens or whatever, which is nowadays very common, like you never expect, but it happened. Then like I always say, these are realities of life and existence. The first number two reality, you have to come to terms with it. Not only you have to confront everybody who live life long enough, you have to confront them. So confronting the world, confronting the phenomenal, confronting condition is what Dhamma is all about. If you don't have that understanding to come to terms with all this reality, then you will have affliction, you will suffer. You cannot develop that wisdom to come to terms with all this reality, which we call acceptance. The word is simple, acceptance. But acceptance must be developed through wisdom, through understanding, stability of that understanding. That's why for you to have the ability to catch that point is already a very good sign that you have developed your cultivation very well. Otherwise, you don't see the importance of it, and you cannot like appreciate it the way it happened to you, like you described just now. So, sadhu to you, the song, very good. Listen to today one again, it like summarize for you what you have been listening and want to understand. In fact, that day sharing with PG, I go into detail already. And today is another beautiful summary.
Yeah, 对, Barakil, 刚才我在听的时候讲，诶，这刚才你的那个之前那个 conclusion 的那个 six sense door，我讲，诶，就是 extend from 那天礼拜，对，一模一样，对啊，它是 extend 出去，对，六根嘛，so
it's like our thought. You cannot blame the thought, understand? Thought is just an instrument, like money. It's neither evil or good. Thought is neither wholesome or unwholesome. So the six sense door is the same. They are sense faculty. What is more important is the user of thought. The user of the six sense door. The user of money. If the user have Dhamma, have wisdom, that thought become wholesome, thought become virtuous, beautiful, meaningful. That money also same, become wonderful, virtuous, wholesome. So similarly, the six sense door. Without Dhamma, the six sense door will bring about downfall. All this, cultivator don't look at it that way. They go and practice that so-called Dhamma knowledge. Practice letting go. How can you practice letting go? That statement is like practice how to be mindful. There is no such practice. Mindfulness is an understanding. Without thought, you're already aware, mindful. That is your true mind. Who practice? The thought practice and want to be aware, mindful. The thought which is actively doing or practicing can never be mindful or aware. That is the understanding. Then, like, practice letting go. Practice acceptance. How can you practice such a thing? Letting go need wisdom. And wisdom cannot be practiced, like I used to tell Yun Chan. Wisdom is an awakening, understanding. The moment you awaken, you have it. No need to remember. But if you don't have, you cannot let go. It's only words. Letting go requires wisdom. Because the moment you have wisdom, the beauty arises. When you have wisdom, you don't cling, you don't attach, you don't get yourself entangled. So what is there to let go? Do you understand? There's no more ignorance, no more delusion, and you cannot hold it. So don't need to let go. Who let go? The person who hold, who don't have the wisdom, try to practice letting go. How can you do that? Without wisdom, there is no way. That's why when you have the understanding and the awakening, you see the fallacy and the delusion in what a lot of so-called cultivators do. And the word they use, sometimes is really gullible, laughable, because they don't understand. For those who are awakened, they understand there is no such practice. Remember last time we went through all this, but I think that time you all were not able to grasp the thing. Now I think more of you all can understand and grasp it. Okay, so?
Yeah, but this acceptance, I think we cultivator 一定要去了解。
Yeah.
Especially 那个 Sunday 的那个Burden 的那个 sharing,
yeah,
因为 Burden 你 point out 很多的那个,
I give a lot of example.
很多的 example 怎样在 daily 里面去
对，在
daily 里面 based on 我们的这个 six sense door 哈
six sense door 对，我们
interact 了以后，你 whatever 我们骗不了自己的，因为我们里面一定会骗不了自己的，the moment when 我们 react 的时候 it means that 就是我们的 acceptance 还没有，你还不能够
really have the understanding yet.
From there 我们一定要再 contemplate why 我们不能够 accept
对,
the reality at that moment
because
of 那个 sixth sense door.
对，
然后这个就是我最近一直时常有在做的，有时sometimes the little things 我可以 accept 我没有 moving, but sometimes 我还会被 stirred. But the moment 我一 stirred, 我每次会问回我自己 why?
Yeah,
I mean, contemplate. Yeah,
你的 mind 还会有那个 reaction.
对,
or how come it still has that movement? So this bring about another point. 你 remember last time I used to share 广清老和尚。 He said some Dhamma words which are very simple but very meaningful and very profound. He said in Mandarin, a cultivator must develop this type of understanding and acceptance. 对也接受，不对也接受. This is the beginning. You can accept whether it's right or it's wrong. The acceptance of it means you have wisdom. Why? Because these are conventional reality. Right according to who? No matter according to who, you accept that these are not ultimate truth. That's why if you can accept and transcend right and wrong, you will have no problem in life. That's why he said, don't argue with people. Don't get unhappy. Don't go and give too much meaning to right and wrong. Why do you want to be right? Who wants to be right? The egoic mind. So the saying is very simple. 对也接受，不对也接受。Then the last sentence is the best. 无论如何都要忍辱。忍辱就是包容。Means right or wrong, you must develop the ability to accept. Because this is a conventional reality, not ultimate truth or ultimate reality. Then no matter what happens, is it, you must maintain patient endurance with wisdom. Because patient endurance with wisdom can be, is a perfection, is a parameter. This is the profound Dhamma. That's why the first time I heard it, when I heard the sharing in the recording that day, I rejoiced and I knew this monk is very good. And his Dhamma is very simple. 他的开示录, he always say, 过去心不可得, 未来心不可得. Then he add the third one, 现在心也不可得. Wow, my nature rejoiced like anything. Then I understood the third one. A lot of people cannot understand. They thought the present moment is the highest. So they cling to the present moment. In fact, the present moment is still within existence. Life itself, although it's the highest in life, is when you are mindful, aware, within the moment, without thought. That is the present moment, and that is the only reality. But split second is there and gone. See it, understand it, that this is still within the conditional, is still within existence. That's why to transcend life, you have to transcend even the present moment. That's why you must realize Nibbana, which is cessation of form and mind, where the present moment awareness also ceases to be, then the form and mind return. And it is the cessation of form and mind that brings about that realization of enlightenment in the here and the now, which is the realization of Nibbana. That's why Nibbana is unconditioned. The cessation of everything. You cannot talk about it. You cannot describe it. It's only the form and mind that goes through it and come out of it that can have the understanding of what that thing is. That's why they always use the word is negation. Negation means you cannot describe, you cannot talk about it and all the things. It's like the Tao. Tao ke Tao, Fei Chang Tao. The Tao that can be spoken or talked about. That is not the true Tao. And yet, nothing is apart from the Tao. So these are very profound, beautiful teachings which cultivator that has the awakening can understand. That's why I always say all these Dhamma are for enlightened beings. But for practicing or cultivating the Dhamma, you cannot cling to it as Dhamma knowledge and try to use your intellectual reasoning or thought process to understand it. Because this one is a wisdom that need to be awakened to. That's why you have to silence your mind, develop stability or awareness. Then through the direct seeing, the awakening, through the silent mind that is aware, you awaken. After you awaken, you contemplate, reflect. Then you go into life. Then every moment, every situation, every condition, you see it clearly. That's how the stability of wisdom arises. That penetrative awakening that comes from Bhavana Maya Panya means wisdom born of the direct seeing. The silent mind awakening. So all this are important understanding. So what you have brought about is a very good condition. So sadhya. All this, if cultivator can penetrate like what you have slowly gone into, they will develop great understanding, wisdom. This is what the great Dhamma is all about. The great Vahika Dhamma is very different from ordinary Dhamma, ordinary wisdom. That this one goes into life, into existence. Then this one involves the cultivation of the true mind, the silent mind, the nature within. Which normal people, normal cultivator, they can't even understand, not to say touch it or realize. To be within the moment without thought is to them like impossible. You ask them not to think, relax, maintain awareness. They say you must be crazy because they cannot do it. Because the only instrument they know or have is the mundane mind that think a lot. And so conditioned, sankara, so active. That's why it cannot slow down and they become so tired, so stressed out. They hardly can rest or recuperate their mind, except forcing themselves to sleep. They said the doctor, give you tranquilizer, give you what they call antibiotic to knock you off so that you shut off your mundane thinking. Otherwise, your nature cannot heal you. So nature has its own beautiful way of manifesting. Okay, so, Sadhu.
Yeah, brother, 我们很多的时候都懂，我们有很多的 delusions， 我们很多的这个sakaya titi 那个 ego mind， 所以其实这一些都是因为我们的这个 opinion 跟我们的 view
yeah,
condition，
对，因为你的 thinking mind 啊 mundane mind that want to analyze and reason is the one that created this。 That's why I say no amount of reasoning or analysis can bring about wisdom. It can give you some mundane solution, which is partial, but it cannot solve your real problem, which is the problem of the mind. The problem of the mind can only be resolved with that nature's understanding. That's why it must be with that true mind, that awaken, that see things as they are, that silent nature, observe and come to understand clearly who we are, what we are, and how we function as a human being, and how the six sense operate, how upon contact it trigger the response, corresponding. Consciousness, then how upon arising of that consciousness, instead of having the mindfulness to see things as they are, like the Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. But the mundane mind that is so conditioned and deluded, straight away lashes onto it and react and stir and command. That's how they become heedless. That's how throughout the day they are hardly aware. Hardly mindful, their mundane mind stir a lot. So for those who have the mindfulness and the wisdom and the understanding, they can understand all this, they can see all this. Then they wake up, they really wake up. No point, like I always say, think also like that, don't think also like that. Why you want to think? Why you want to waste time? And you will know and understand clearly how energy are dissipated. Through what? Through all the heedless thinking, through all the argument, through all the analysis, reasoning to be right, to be wrong. That's why right and wrong. And all the duality created by thought through words. That's why Krishna Murti say, thought divine. Through what? Through words, through concept, through idea. So all this is what Dhamma is all about. When you can see clearly how you get entangled, how living beings get entangled, then you will see clearly the fallacy of using thought that way. Who analyze? The thought analyze. Who reason? The thought reason. And how can thought which is the same instrument, awaken out to that reasoning or analysis. Because you need wisdom, which is beyond thought, the silent mind, the awareness, nature, the true mind, to actually awaken, observe, see, and awaken. And from there, you have free. But if you use the instrument of thought to analyze, reason, and try to gain knowledge, thinking that that is wisdom, then like the Buddha said, this Dhamma that you're supposed to realize is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond mind. How can you use the instrument of thought to realize the Dhamma which is beyond thought, beyond mind? You can't. You are basically, the instrument limits you. That's why you must silence everything and transcend, go beyond the thinking process. Then the awareness that is aware is different. But that one is not a thought. That one can be with specific phenomenal awareness. With that nature, silent, without any movement, tranquility, stillness, clarity. So all these are the true cultivation and understanding that can be realized if you do it with the proper understanding and guidance. Then one day, when all this becomes clear, it becomes so beautiful. There is so much joy. There is so much love, gratitude. Then you will understand why the great beings, the Bodhisattvas, the Buddhas are all like that. They have the embodiment of love and compassion and wisdom. So, Dhamma, when it's understood, is very different. So today, sharing as created by the condition said by you is very good. So go back and listen to this again. It will complement the Sandhya. In fact, lately all the sharing are very good. You should listen. That's why I rejoice when your nature can go through all this and develop the understanding and know where your limitation is. Then from there, what you need to do is to continue to stabilize your awareness and develop the daily mindfulness until that understanding part, the clarity, the direct seeing, they become very stable. Then, of course, the reflection and the contemplation based on my sharing can actually speed up the stability or understanding. But all these are like important pointer, and when you get it, you straight away like wake up. Then it becomes so beautiful. Then it's like, oh, how come last time I cannot understand? How come last time I cannot see? Because all this is cultivation. You don't go through all this, you cannot progress to where you are. That's why I say there is no such thing as you like a lot of people like in the Kung Fu one. Right? If I know 10 steps, I teach you 9 steps, I give 1 step. No thing. Because the real cultivation, if you are not on the right path, if you have not done it correctly, it's not easy for you to catch up on. Not easy for you to catch up on. That's why in the year 1989, when I met my last guy and located the gateway, then everything happened until now. You think all these things, even if I were to share everything that I know, which I am doing, with all of you, without reservation at all, like shortcut your training and understanding of. But it's not easy. How many of you can really pick it up? Because you lack that path, you lack that understanding, you lack that transformation and the training, the consciousness and the thing. It is going to take a while. Unless there is somebody from the past who are very, very exceptional and special. which I have yet to come across. Otherwise, it's not easy. This type of cultivation is very difficult, very rare. So whatever it is, you all have the condition and you are blessed. That's why the website is very important. The recording is very important. So all this will help a lot of cultivators in years to come. And those who have the right cultivation and the understanding, they will appreciate all this. Now, there is very few cultivators who can actually follow what I share. Very few. Even a lot of you all follow me very long, you all can understand to a certain extent. But the transformation of the stability of mindfulness and that nature, the fourth support, trust, to transform your nature, that one take a while. That one really take. That one, I realized, you cannot like speed up unless you have the past. Unless you really diligent, have the faith and really move. Otherwise, that one, it go according to its own pace on it. You cannot on. That's why I can share everything and teach you everything, but there is no way you can come so fast unless your past is exceptional. Then upon listening to the sharing, you can straight away on your own move and develop the understanding. And then that one also, you can go back to your previous cultivation level. And then there is a possibility. But this type of cultivator are very few, very, very rare. So tonight, the sharing is very good. So I do teach you over some. You can continue if you have anything else. Yeah.
Brother, 刚才 Brandon 你讲的那个啊，我们要去 realize 那个 silent mind，我们要去 cultivate。我觉得这个in order to realize 那个 silent mind， 这个 able to accept all the conditions 哦，是一个很重要的 step， 一个cultivation bring to the silent mind。所以这个 becomes able to accept all the conditions， all 所有的那个。Arise, whether it's right or wrong, 我们都 able be accept and peaceful. 这个是很重要的一个 step.
对 the final understanding. But to reach that understanding, you need the silent mind, the stability of mindfulness. Until you are really aware, because it's not from the thought, not from knowledge. Initially, you can listen, rejoice, and know that it's very beautiful.Then you try to reflect, contemplate, and try to live that way, but not much use, I realize. But that one can only give you certain understanding up to a certain stage. But the what I call the very, they call that awakening, which is born of the third turning. Bhavana Maya Panya, wisdom born of Bhavana.That one is a very, very different awakening. The word is penetrative. That one is very penetrative. And to realize that, there is bhavana, you have to stabilize your mindfulness, your awareness, that nature. That throughout the day, cultivate non-stop. I remember 86 to 89, I did it non-stop. I was throughout the day aware, mindful. Then later on, when my mundane mind collapsed, everything become like very natural. But most of you all will have to do it before the mundane mind collapse. During that time, you have to stabilize all this. That's why the wisdom and the awakening can only be penetrative when you are very, very mindful, ever mindful, constantly meditative. It's throughout the day. You are in that state of tranquility, stillness.Mindfulness and awareness, and hardly any thought at all. Remember, then you see a lot of things, very subtle things. Then you understand thought, everything, the mundane mind movement, everything very clear. Then whatever Krishnamurti share and mention is so beautiful because that nature can understand. It is so in that awareness. how thought divide and how it create all this duality and entanglement and how memory, that's why he said acting according to memory, that one all straight away I penetrate. In the year 1989, I already told my wife, I said, a lot of monks, they commit to memory, they are trapped in memory. Because acting according to memory is not acting at all. We have to act with the Dhamma, wisdom, understanding. Whatever that is in the memory is all your rubbish. Most of them is your scars of memory, your fear, your worry, your insecurity, your sorrow, your lament, lamentation and all those things. Things that you carry. So memory are experiences that we accumulated, good and bad. So that is what memory is all about, our views, our opinion, our belief system, our conditioning. The whole brain is like that, because that one is thought, memory. Thought is respond to memory. From there, thought arise. Without wisdom, you don't know how to use it. You will get into trouble. That's why the whole cultivation is very different. You have to have the stability of mindfulness awareness to be very, very clear about all these things. Then you start to observe, see, awaken. Then you know all these things so clearly inside out. Then after that, the acceptance, like you say, that one become automatic. Because you will understand the Buddha's word like that. Thing is just the way it is, finished. The reality, the truth, that is. You have to accept, no other way. He wants things your way, unless you know how to introduce the condition with your wisdom and understanding. That's why I ask for forgiveness, then do the treating that I teach you. Vow not to repeat all this, then cultivate. Then invoke power of merit, spur them around. These are the wisdom and the Dhamma that you can apply to turn things around. But apart from that, every moment, every instant when you go through life, condition like that, things will be like that. Thing is just the way it is. Cannot be otherwise. We are within the moment. Condition already set. You argue also no use. What you need to do is resolve problem through what? Through Noble Eightfold Path, through understanding, help people in the way you can develop the understanding. And the other thing is, unless that person is ready and want to be helped, otherwise no point, because if that person has problem because of karmic obstruction and delusion, and you want to be helped, you think that is compassion, then you get yourself more entangled. Yeah, there is not compassion. There is not understanding condition. They are just the way they are. There is no condition, means let things be. No need to do anything. No need to say anything. That's why the understanding of all this is, it's not a knowledge. It's not something that you can hold on to as memory or what. Then from there you try to act according to memory. Cannot. The wisdom is an understanding. You have means you have. Then it can be applied anytime, any situation, any condition. It just, like I say, yoniso manasikara, at the moment of sense experience, the wisdom will arise, the Dhamma will arise. That's why yoniso manasikara. Manasikara is attention. Yoniso is wisdom at the moment of attention. It's always there. But that is your nature. That's the reason why the Buddha say you must have yoniso manasikara. Without yoniso manasikara, you cannot. And yoniso manasikara is the wisdom that you must have. You cannot practice and learn to have that type of yoniso manasikara or understanding. So very good, huh? Well, so started here.
Sadhu Varadu, Varadu, you want some the this Dhamma sharing you, very good.
Yeah, more detail in the sense that some of you all may need this later on. But this is a more like detailed summary of the whole thing. Because unless people understand the Sunday part, appreciate that, then I cannot go into this. Otherwise, people cannot follow. In fact, tonight what I share, a lot of people cannot follow. They cannot understand what has been shared. But later on, when the practitioner develop the understanding, they listen to this again, I tell you, they will rejoice like anything. So all these are very beautiful sharing. Okay. So also 10:32, I think we can end. So let us rejoice with the good sharing by the song. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.